Let's get our Bibles out, shall we? We have been bringing messages in the feelings that people could have at Christmas time. And I told you, and I continue this experiment where I work, asking people, so what are the feelings you're having at the season of Christmas? And I'm still getting a lot of the same responses. Some of the responses I am still receiving is sadness, loneliness, depression, anger. Those are very common expressions of emotions that people feel at the Christmas season. Does anybody here feel those kind of things from time to time during Christmas? Well, thank you for being honest with me. That's just a normal thing. And we have to continue to ask ourselves, well, why is that, you know, a common theme at the season of Christmas? Because we know that everywhere around us, you know, there are people trying, not in a commercialism kind of way, of course they're trying too, but there are certainly signs of people trying to invoke joy in you, and it's not working. It's just not working. And there were a lot of people shopping at Target that's not joyful. They're not joyful. And so all around us, we are trying to find that joy and that peace. And it's slipping away. As I said, I kind of made light, I'm sure, of 40 million people. 40 million people who went shopping at a Target store within like the last month or so. And 40 million people might have been compromised, you know, with their cards. Is that a very real possibility? Well, it is a real possibility because it happened. But here's the other part. Someone said to me, well, how do I know that Walmart's not next? Well, guess what? You don't. Every time you use your card, there are evil people who are very smart who can compromise you. So we can be concerned about that, right? We should like worry about that like for the next 2 years about, oh my gosh. Anybody not worried about that? Not worried about that. Whatever. Well, I want to let you know that Pastor Colin, not only does he read from Hezekiah, not only does he read from Hezekiah, but what Pastor Colin does in his day job, other than pastoring, you work for a bank, and you work for credit card theft. Are you getting any phone calls?
Lots.
That's what he does. Imagine his phone, huh? That's what he does. Reconciling maybe charges that people don't have on their credit cards and things like that. That's what you do, right? 40 million possibilities to spread joy this year, Pastor Colin. What?
It's job security.
Job security. That's what I say about you. Hezekiah. So today we're going to try to wrap around this season of Advent for Christians. And we said that Jesus Christ is the way. We said that. And we said that Jesus Christ is the way to what? And almost 99% of the time, people will say Jesus Christ is the way to where? Heaven. That's like, and that's not wrong. That's not wrong. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. That's true. But he's more than that. Jesus Christ is the way to an abundant life. Not just to eternal life. He's a way to an abundant life. And where would you like to have an abundant life? Right here and right now. Jesus Christ said, I have come so that you may have life and your life be what? Full, abundant, complete. So where you sit today on December the 22nd in the year 2013, I'm going to straight right out ask you, are you having a good life? Or is your, now see, some people going, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No. You see, the reality of it is this. The reality of our human existence is this. We should be joyful. He said, I've come that your joy may be what? Full. But we don't have a joyful life. We have joyful moments. How many agree we have joyful moments? Moments. And for some of us, the joyful moments are long. Some of us, the joyful moments may last for days. And some of us, our joyful moments are very fleeting and it only might last 5 minutes. But if you do not have a joyful life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then certainly there are periods in your life that you are not joyful. How many would agree with that statement? That's the reality of it. And so there are moments in your life that your joy is not full. It's not. But yet Jesus says, I've come that your joy may be what, Sissy? Full. Peace. The third Advent candle that we talked about, peace. And it isn't this. How many are old enough to remember this? Peace. Michael, raise your hand, Michael. Michael, no, I was just a kid. I was in junior high school. No, you weren't. And this peace that we talk about is peace that transcends what? How much? All. All. Not some of it. All of it. All of it. And some of us have peaceful what? Moments. How many have peaceful moments? We have peaceful moments. We do. You know, if you work in an office or whatever, or, you know, what Pastor Colin does and all those complaints coming in. Anybody in customer service here? Jen is, and Colin kind of like is, and Bob kind of like is, right? Customer service. How many would not want to work in customer service? Oh, imagine Target's customer service line. Oh, my.
Colin raised his hand.
Colin. I know that some people just can't take it anymore. I know this because we went into Target yesterday, Sissy and I, and I bought a large item for our daughter Desiree and her son Jim. A laptop computer, right? I said to the guy, I was using my American Express card because I didn't have like that much cash money. I said, "Hey, is this safe to use?" He looked at me and went, just like that. I said, "Oh, I know you probably heard that a million times, right?" He said, "More." I said, "Is this safe?" He said, "Yes, they're perfectly safe." I said, "Well, how do you know that?" And he just looked at me and said, "Because they fired the guy and they shot him." And that's exactly what they said to me. They fired the guy and they shot him. And I went, "Oh, praise God for that." You know, he just couldn't take it anymore. And he was, you know, laughing at me. He said, "Oh, they found the guy, they shot him." He probably had enough of Target asking that question, right? And so we know that Jesus Christ wants us to be peaceful. How many hours a day? 24. That's the deal. So Jesus Christ came not only to give us eternal life, he came to give us a life. And the A life is defined by having it abundantly. So how do we have it abundantly? Does it mean we all have to have a yacht? No. Does it mean you have to go on a cruise to the islands? I'm taking Sissy. Yeah. Oh no, I'm serious. I told you, right? I'm taking Sissy on a cruise to the islands. Neville, Bruno, Davis.
Sounds like fun.
And we're going to take that great cruise ship, what? The Party Liner. All around the islands. How many's ever been around the islands? All around the islands. And so we know that we are to have an abundant life, which is not the abundance of things. It's not based upon things. That's what?
Peace.
It's peace and joy. That's what it is. It's understanding, like I told you last week with the death of my ma. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. How many know that he has taken some things from you? But you know why he took it? Because he gave it to you first. And in all of those circumstances, whether he giveth and he taketh, an abundant life is still able to raise your hands and say what? Praise God for all things. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's an abundant life. And today we wrapped out all around of he's the way. He's the way to what? Eternal life, true. But he's the way to abundant life. By what? By filling me with joy. By filling me with peace. Because he is my blessed hope. That's the final candle today. That he is my hope. How many of you have ever been disappointed by a friend? How many have ever been disappointed by a family member? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't ask that right. That's not what I wanted to ask. what I wanted to ask was, how many of you disappointed a friend? I wanted to ask, how many of you disappointed a family member? Guess what? It's us. It's us. And Jesus Christ is the friend that will never disappoint you. He's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. He's not changing. And so our blessed hope we have to find in Christ. So turn into your Bibles, please. And we're going to turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 4.
For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope.
Yes. Everything that has been written in the Scriptures. Everything that has been written in the Scriptures. How much of it?
Everything
written in the Scriptures has been given to us so that we would be able to endure, so that we would be able to find character, so that we would find our what? Hope. Do you ever wonder why they left some things in the Scripture? Like Peter denying Christ three times. I mean, if you were Peter, and you were talking to those folks who were writing that Scripture, maybe you might want to have to say, hey, can you like leave that part out? You know, sword part in the ear, I'm on. The walking on the water part, count me in. But that denying him part, hey, can we abridge that? Can we just take that out? Help me understand, that might have been a good thing, right? You know that Abraham situation when they said, who is this? And he said his wife was his sister. How many say, can we just keep that part out? Let's not put that part in there. Or the Moses part, when he said, I don't want to go and speak. I don't speak clearly. Get my brother to do it. Let's just keep that part what? Out. Let's not put that in there. Or in the Apostle Paul, you know that persecuting the Christian part? Can we just keep that part out? Or David, you know that adulterous thing with Bathsheba, can we just keep that and me having her husband killed, can we keep that part, you know, out? Now the giant part, the slinging the giant, that's what? Oh, let's keep that part in. You know that, hey, I'm a man after God's own heart, let's what? Let's keep that part in. But that adulterous part, let's just keep that one what? Out. Why is it in? Why is it there? What is the therefore what? Therefore. You know why? Because we know that if God used all of them in their shortcomings, God can use who? Us. And ours. And all of that has been written. All of that. How many know? Hey, you know what? Some of the patriarchs, they are a lesson. They are a lesson in dysfunction. How many knew that? A lesson in dysfunction. How many came from dysfunctional? No, don't sit down. No. Some of you wanted to go, yeah. Some of the patriarchs of our faith, look up dysfunction. Their pictures is there. Some of the brothers. How about being good old Joseph? You want to have brothers like him? What'd they do with him? Threw him in a pit. Sold him into slavery. But because all of those things were in there, God says to us, and look what I did in spite of them. Amen. And your hope is, look what I'm going to do with what? You. I'm going to do this with you. Everything in the Scripture has been written. Not just because of some kind of great history novel. It's because we can find hope in those things. We can find our hope. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Anybody find hope in that? Jesus was crucified for our sins. Anybody find hope in that? You see, it all depends on where you put your hope. Right now, there are little children downstairs. And I'm not going to diss, you know, the guy with the white beard. I'm not going to do that. But there are a lot of kids around here putting a lot of hope in the guy with the white beard and the red suit. Is that not true? Sissy and I, where was we yesterday? Was it TJ Maxx or one of those places when a little girl came in? So funny. So, why don't you tell the story, because you probably tell it better than me.
Well, there was a mom, and she had three kids. And before they went in the store, she said to the one little child, she said, "Okay, now, you already have your list.
Yeah, there was a Santa list.
don't be adding to it. Santa has your list."
Right.
Like she was done, and she didn't want any surprises.
Yeah.
Something new.
They walk into TJ Maxx. It was TJ Maxx, right? The Marshalls, one of those.
Yeah.
They walk in, and when you go through the door, right to the left is a Santa's mailbox. They get the picture? Santa's mailbox. And she went, oh, and she ran right away, and she got a Santa letter. She started writing on it. Must said, hey, don't be adding to the list. He got your list. Don't add to it. Because she puts her hope in that. Where do you find your hope? Maybe you find your hope in a spouse. Maybe you find your hope in a job. Maybe you find your hope in some kind of circumstances. How many of you know those things are fleeting? Aren't they? They are fleeting. And so we need to find our hope in something that's never going to change, and that is God's Word. Anybody find hope that God used all those folks in spite of them? What is your problem? What is your excuse? I'm serious. Oh, Pastor Tom, I can't go pray with people. I didn't go to seminary. Well, how many seminaries did the disciples go to? That's an easy answer, right? Oh, you're probably thinking about it, huh? Well, did he go to no. What seminaries did the disciples go to? None. Who were they taught by? Turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Yes, yes. So many of us who go through trials and tribulations of every kind, we have so much mixed emotions when it's our turn. How many of you fully can grasp the truth that everybody gets a turn when it comes to trials? Everybody is going to get their turn. Now, it may not be the same trial, but everybody's going to get one. Now, let's just check my theory here. How many of you in this room, those that are young and those that are more mature, how many of you had a trial, at least one trial in your life? I'm being kind. Just one. Now, Ryan is saying, I haven't had my turn. And I would probably agree with him. He has not yet had his turn. Life for you is pretty good. Right? Life for you is pretty good. Well, my dear young friend Ryan. Who said that? How many know? It's coming. Everybody gets their turn. Don't they? And in our turns, when it is our turn, and Sissy and I had our share of turns. We've had our turns. Our dear friend Mary has had the same kinds of turns. We know about this. But in many ways, we are stronger today, are we not, Mary? We are stronger today than we were before we had our turn. How many of you can say you're stronger today than you were when you first had your turn? And in that is the hope. That's the hope. The hope is not, I don't have to go through this. You're going to go through this. Help me understand that. You can hope all you want and wish upon a star that you're not going to get a turn, but guess what, Leonard? You're going to get a turn. Everybody gets a turn, don't they? Right now, in every university hospital in the city of Pittsburgh, in every hospital bed, guess what? Somebody is getting a what? A turn. They're getting their turn. The question is, I don't hope my turn never comes. I don't hope that I never have to go through this. I hope I don't have to experience this. That's where your problem is. Because you're saying, oh, I hope I don't get a turn. And then when you do, your joy is sapped out because guess why? It's your turn. And you say, wait a second, I don't have any peace now because it's my turn. That's the problem. The problem is, guess what? You are going to get what? Your turn. And when your turn comes, you find your hope in knowing that it is going to pass. And when it passes, I will be stronger. Who can say amen to that? It's the truth. And when my turn comes, I have hope that God will not forsake me. Well, how can I find hope in that? Because he said it. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will be with you and to the ends of the age. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Anybody find hope in that? Hope in that? That in my suffering, I learn patience. And in my patience, I learn character. And in my character and patience, I learn what? Hope. Hope in what? I'll never have a trial, Glenn? Really? You might as well go to the mall and sit on the lap with a red-suited guy with the beard. I'm serious. Please, Santa, never give me a trial. Really? Even Jesus, he said, in this world, you will have what? Trials. He told us ahead of time. Ahead of time. Once there was a centurion who appeared to Jesus and said, Jesus, I need your help. You know, my slave's daughter just passed away. And if you had been there, guess what? She wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, well, take me to her. And what did the centurion say to Jesus? No. You don't even have to come. Because I control mighty armies. And I am the leader of many men. And if I say to one of the men, go over there, guess what? He goes over there. And if I say to somebody, go over there, guess what? He goes over there. Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. All you need to do is what, Pastor Colin? Say it. Just say it. And it will be so. And Jesus said, on all of Jerusalem, I have not found one with faith like this. He said, go home and you're going to find something. You're going to find that little girl what? Well, do you have that hope? Do you have that kind of hope? Do you have that kind of hope like he had and said, Jesus, just speak it. All you need to do, Lord, is just what? Just say it, and it will be so. Do you have that kind of hope? Or are you only going to find that hope when you are well? Well, good luck. How many of you know you're not well? Anybody in this room 100% well? No. Who here's got some kind of issues going on right now? Some kind of physical thing going on right now. So what are you going to do? Wait till that goes away? Well, good luck for you. Go back or sit on that guy's red suit with the white beard guy. Can we find our hope in the storm, right? Not outside of it. Turn to Psalm. Psalm 27. And we're going to read verses 1 to 6. But I'm going to have Sissy just read for me just this moment verses 1 to 3.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident.
And that you can find your hope. That's where you find your hope. Are you waiting until you're not attacked to find your hope? Are you waiting until the armies of Satan and all other kind come against you? They don't. That's when you find your hope. You know we find our hope? Is that greater it is in me than he that is in the world. How many can say amen to that? There is no giant I cannot slay. You all have them. David's giant was called what? Goliath. What are yours called? Probably not Goliath. You have them. Everybody has giants. Maybe some of your giants are called depression. Maybe a giant of anxiety. Maybe a giant of stress. Maybe a giant of financial concerns. Maybe a giant of broken relationships. Maybe giants of a death of a loved one. Oh, we got our giants. Oh, we got them. How many's got a giant? Oh, we got them. We all got them. The question is not whether or not you have one. The question is whether he has you. That's the question. The question is not whether or not you have a giant. The question is whether the giant what? It's got you. That's the question. And how long will this giant come after you? Scripture is clear. Psalm 27. No matter who comes against me, guess what? I will be victorious. Don't worry about that wind. Your cars are blowing out of the parking lot. Don't worry. Have hope.
It's only a mountain.
It's only a mountain. Let's read the rest of that psalm, verses 4 to 6, Sissy.
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle, and he will set me high upon a rock. And my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his temple will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Yeah. Oh. The psalmist said, there's only one thing I ask of you, Lord. Only one. That I may dwell in your house forever. Wow. If you ask the Lord for never have a trial, never have a storm, never have a health concern, never have an issue of any kind, you think that Lord would grant that? Is that, I don't know. You know, some people really are of the mindset that you can ask anything of the Lord in the name of Jesus, you know, and it shall be given to you. I have a problem with that statement. I have a problem with that statement. And here's the reason why I have a problem with that statement. I have friends of mine, I have friends who really believe, earnestly believe, and maybe some of you do as well, that if you ask anything in the name of the Lord Jesus, it will be given to you. Period. Period. And I understand that sentiment. I understand it. But I will tell you this. There are parents at Children's Hospital right now, in the chapel at Children's Hospital right now, praying in earnest, that their child does not die. Now don't you tell me that if that child dies, they weren't praying in earnest. You cannot make me believe that. How many agree with that statement? You cannot ever make me believe that statement, that they were not praying hard enough. Are you kidding me? Really? Praying that your child does not die in earnest and they weren't praying well enough? Death entered into the world. How many agree with that statement? Death is here. That's the way it works. But we have the blessed hope that when one of us die, it is not a permanent death. It's a passage into the kingdom of heaven. How many agree with that? And that's where we find our hope. I hope someday, based upon God's word, that there is a heaven. Who believes that? That's what I know. And I believe that when this earthly job is done, we rest in the glory of the Lord. Anybody agree with that statement? And that's where you find your hope. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verse 7.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord.
Wow. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope he finds there. Wow. Blessed. The definition of hope in the dictionary kind of goes like this. It's things wished for. That's the definition of hope. Things wished for. There are young children today in, I'm sure, in every city and state of our country that are wishing and hoping for things. True? That's what they are. And when we were little kids, we probably hoped and wished for things too. That's the way it works. Help me understand that. And hope in Webster's dictionary says things wished for. But hope in the Bible doesn't mean that. Hope in the Bible is I am confident. I am confident that the Lord will keep his promises. I'm not wishing that he does. I am what? Confident that he does. And here is the confidence that you may rest assured in and find your hope. It is not that you will never have a trial. It is not that you will never have a storm. It is not you will never have a mountain to climb. You will always have those things. Your confidence needs to be in this, that in the day that you breathe your last, you open your eyes and you look into the eyes of the Lord. That the day will come that our trials will come to a cease. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more tears. That's where we need to find our hope. That we do not worship a part-time God. We worship a full-time God. It's not that whether God is full-time, it's whether or not Christians are part-time. Part-time Christians worship a full-time God. How many understand that's the truth? That's the truth. I have a good brother of mine, Glenn, who's a plumber. Right? A plumber by trade. Also a school teacher. I understand that. But you were a master plumber, right? My good friend over there, Glenn, is a master plumber. Let me ask you a question. Glenn is a master plumber, but let's just suppose you have papers and journeyman stuff and stuff like that, right? So he has all the credentials. But let's just suppose he never plumbs a house. In his entire career, he never laid one single pipe. Not one. He never put a spigot on or whatever plumber stuff. He never did any of those things, but yet he says he's a plumber. Is he a plumber if he never does anything that plumbers do? Probably not. I have a mechanic. Here's my friend Scott. He's a mechanic, right? You're a mechanic. And you fix stuff. And you probably went to school for that. You probably have. He's a mechanic. But he never fixed anything. He doesn't take engines apart. He doesn't fix any engines. He doesn't work on cars or trucks or fire engines. He never does anything as far as mechanic. But yet he says he's a mechanic. Well, my question is he then what? Mechanic. An electrician who goes to school to be an electrician. And he's an electrician, but yet he never wires a house. He never does anything that electricians do. Is he an electrician? A roofer who never ever puts one single shingle on a roof. Is he a roofer? Well, are you Christian in name only? If you never do anything that Christians do, you're not a Christian. Oh, you may have the paper that says you were confirmed. You may have the paper that says you were baptized. You may have a paper that says you joined the church. But if you don't do things Christians do, you are not a Christian. You are a Christian in name only. How many know that is true? And if you're a Christian in name only, you will never find your hope. Never. You will never find your joy. You will never find your peace because all you have is the credentials, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's the truth. People still asking me questions about Pastor Tom. How could you go do a funeral on a Monday when you're burying your mom on a Tuesday? Because I do Christian things. That's why. Because Sissy and I have that joy. And you're not getting it. Floods my soul. How many have the joy? Who really can say they have the joy of the Lord? Who can really say that? Who has the joy of the Lord in this room? I mean, from the top of my head to the soles of our feet, right? Who here has a peace of God that transcends all of life's understandings? Who has the blessed hope that will never disappoint you? Who has that? All right, here goes the question. Anybody want it? Anybody not have it who wants it? I am going to give you an early Christmas present. That's because of the kind of guy I am. You are going to have the opportunity for an early Christmas present. And here you go. You know the best place to find those things is at the altar of the Lord. That's where you find those things. You're surely not finding them on Dr. Phil. You can't find your peace on Oprah. Ellen ain't going to give it to you. Montel sure ain't found it. Only Jesus Christ can give that to you. And if you don't have it, I am going to give you the opportunity to get it. And this is where you get it. In Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. You know what? You can't find it in a doctor. You can't find it in a prescription. You can't find it in a job. You cannot find it anywhere. You need to find it in the name of the Lord. How many understand that? That's where you got to find it. And so, I'm going to give you an opportunity. You want to find it? You want that joy? I'm going to have you come up here with me. Now, here's the way this works. Oh, no. Now I have no peace now. I was good till he said that. I thought I could just sit back in the confines of my little black chair and go, whoo, whoo. But now he's asking me to come up there. There goes my joy. There goes my peace. How many know? That's what I'm talking about, right? Oh, time up. I was good there. I'm not good up here. Well, that's why you don't have any joy. Hey, let me help you. That's why you don't have any joy, see? That's why you don't have it. I'll sit back here with Jen. Jen, move that so I don't get my pants all wet. See, I'm back here like this, right? And I'm saying to myself, man, you know what? I got to have that joy. I am so tired of a life that's just not joyful. I am so tired of a life that's just controlling me. All of my circumstances, all of my stress control me. And I don't want that anymore. I want to have a life that when I get up in the morning, I say, come on, let's go get them. And then somebody says, well, come on up here and let's pray. But, oh, I don't want it that bad. Well, I'm going to be first. See, I'm not afraid to come on up here. I want Jesus in my life. I want that joy. I want that peace. I want that in my life. That's what I want. Who wants that? If you want that, you come up here and stand with me. Come on. If you want that, you get up here with me. Here's the really, 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 really good news. This joy and peace that we're talking about, you can't go to the mall to get this. You can't get on Amazon.com. You can't buy it, Herm. You can't buy it. It's free. It's free. All you have to do is what? Accept it. I'm going to tell you the difference between hope and peace and joy is 12 inches. I know you're looking at me like, oh, Pastor Tom, man, I thought you were bright, but what are you talking about now? I know it's what you're thinking. But no, really, it's 12 inches. The distance between peace and joy and hope is 12 inches. Did you know that? It's the difference between your head and your heart. Some of us only know it, but we haven't accepted it. And what we need to do is we need to be able to move it from our head into our heart. And that's measured by what? 12 inches. Don't just talk it. Don't you just talk it. You walk it. You just don't talk it, right, Glenn? You get up in the morning, you put your clothes on, you say, let's go. I'm done talking it. I'm going to start walking it. I'm going to live my life like I'm victorious. I'm going to live my life. I'm full of hope and joy and peace. I'm going to live my life like that. I don't care if I get a flat tire. I don't care if I get in a traffic jam. Life is good. And I want you, before we pray, I want you to adopt this whole mentality in life. Wherever I go, that's where the party's at. We are party people. We are full of joy. Wherever we go, guess what? The party is getting started. You don't want to have a party? Don't invite us. Right?
Right.
The party's coming. So let us then be in prayer. Father God, first of all, Lord, I would have to assume, which I am not going to do, that first of all, that everyone in this circle have accepted you as Lord and Savior of their life. And I cannot assume that. So, Lord, I have to make sure that everyone knows here that the source of this joy, the source of this peace, the source of this hope is in Jesus Christ. Not an outside Jesus Christ, but an inside. Inside our hearts. And so, Lord, before we pray for that peace and hope and joy, we are going to pray for salvation. And for those of us that have already received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you repeat with me too. Everyone's going to pray this. Everyone's going to pray this. Father God, I'm a sinner. And I need salvation. I need a Savior. And I claim that what Jesus did for everyone else, He did for me. And the price He paid when He died on the cross is sufficient for my price. And I ask for forgiveness. And I claim the blood of Jesus for me personally. I repent of my sin. I claim Jesus as my Savior. And I promise to follow Him all the days of my life. So help me God. And now, Jesus, we want that peace. We want that peace, and we claim it right now. We claim that peace, Lord, that peace that transcends all of life's understandings. Not the peace in the absence of storms, but the peace in our storms. And we claim that joy. We want the joy. We want that joy, that complete joy. The joy that a little kid's going to see on Christmas morning. We want that joy every day. We don't want to be just a Christmas person on December the 25th. We want Christmas people 24/7, 365. We want that joy to flood our soul and that peace that transcends every storm. And we put our whole hope in You, that You will do exactly what You said You would do. So, Father God, please, at the season of Christmas, we really, truly, Lord, don't need one more package under a tree with a bow on it. We have been given more than we ever, ever could have expected. Most of us in this circle, if not all of us, could simply say this, Lord, if You don't do one more thing, You did more than You ever had to do. If You don't bless us one more time, You blessed us plenty. So, Lord, we don't need more gifts under trees. We need more joy in our hearts. We don't need more peace, Lord, in a mall. We need peace in our hearts. So, Lord, flood every one of us in this circle and those sitting down with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Give us the peace of God that transcends every life's understandings. And we will put our full hope in You. For hope does not disappoint us. In Your wonderful and awesome name, we pray these things. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Now listen to me before you go. You start acting this way. You start acting like you're full of joy. You start acting like your life has peace in it. Don't you leave here and be sad again. No. Guess what? You better get used to the persons around you. Because guess why? You'll be with them for a pretty long time. Some people say, what's heaven look like, Pastor Tom? Well, you want to know? Look around. It looks like this. It looks like this. So you go from this place being joyful. You go from this place full of peace. You go from this place putting your hope in the Lord. Right? And wherever we go, guess what? That's where the party's at. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated.